as long as we have workers and the ability to get them here, we're going to just bring them Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and train them that church is important Sunday night and Wednesday night. So when they get to be adults, they'll say, wow, man, I can go to church on my own. Boys, I'm up here now. Yeah. You know I'll flip around like a monkey in a minute if you keep that up. Pay attention. Don't need no trouble tonight. None at all. We need to pay attention and make sure that we are in our places. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Keep your Bibles there ready. We're going to read down to verse 15 tonight. I have really enjoyed the study of 1 Corinthians and seeing all the difficulties of planting a church and Paul overcoming them by the Word of God and giving us a pattern to follow. And so it's been a big help to me looking at this here chapter and this book. And we're up to chapter 10. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Well, that's a predicament to be in, isn't it? When God's not pleased with you. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to the wise men. Judge ye what I say. This chapter, as we've read up to this point, we're going to look at sin and its consequences tonight. Sin and its consequences, as we began to read on through there, we saw that there was quite a bit of problem with sin that Paul was dealing with in this chapter. He talked about idolatry, talked about fornication, temptation, and murmuring, so forth and so on. And this chapter warns that the Christian of sin and its consequences, and something that will help us in life. And it's helped me. It may not help you, but it's helped me, and it probably has helped many of you already. But if you do something that is wrong, to go ahead and just own up to it. As you start making excuses, then you got to remember the excuse you made. And then you make another error or lie or whatever. Just if you do wrong and you're caught there, just go ahead and say, hey, I was caught and I'm wrong and I did this, did that. And just own up to it. Take responsibility for it. Because I'm telling you, it kind of avoids other problems. Because you can never remember that first lie. You got to tell another one before long. Man, you're wrapped up and tangled up, look like a bowl of spaghetti. I mean, it's bad. So there's consequences of sin. You know, what goes up must come down. What goes out must come back. So forth. What we sow, we shall reap. We sow bad things. Listen, we can't pray for a crop failure when it's time to harvest. It's just going to happen. And I do know this, God is able and faithful and just to forgive us of all sins, but there are consequences that follow. Sometimes we say, God didn't forgive me. Oh, yes, He's present, future, past sins. God's able to forgive, but there are just simple consequences to that. So this here chapter begins to warn us of that, and it draws from experience from Israel in the Old Testament. And Paul takes them and he presents a powerful warning for New Testament saints. And it's a good warning for us today who live under the age of grace. And so as we look at this, we're going to see that sin has a consequence. And so there is a responsibility that we have to be aware of in the matter of separation. And that's what this here chapter 10, verses 1 through 15, begin to talk about. Listen, there's a great responsibility. You know, everybody in the world has rights nowadays, don't they? My right to do this, my right to do that. But I'm going to tell you, church, with your rights comes responsibility. Your right to drive a car has responsibility to it. Your right to Second Amendment right, firearm bearing and all that, you have great responsibility. So all of our rights, we need to not stop with just our rights, but understand we have responsibility. And we need to understand that when my right interferes with somebody else's position. Well, CJ has settled down right here. And this is his position. It's his right to have that. It's a public place, doors open, and we say, come and sit where you want, where you like. And so CJ's chose there. But whenever I begin to try to interfere with his place, my rights have ended. We need to understand that my rights don't overrun somebody else's rights. Now, I have responsibilities. We need to teach our children responsibility. It's nothing wrong with being responsible, guys. It really isn't. It's very comforting to know that we have some young people in our church who are very responsible. Like when we go on the nursing home ministry, some of them gather up those songbooks and get them back in the thing. That's responsibility. They understand that. And so this chapter here begins to deal and talk with that. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes believers have been so neglectful to remember the very blessings of God in our lives. Look what it says there in chapter number 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. We should not be ignorant of God's blessings in our life. Now, Israel had been delivered from a great deliverance. You remember the years of slavery and persecution? It got so bad that Pharaoh had took away the straw, put the taskmasters on them. God came and delivered them with a great deliverance there. And I'm going to tell you, they had been delivered by the mighty hand of God. But wait a minute, church. We as Christians, born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believers in the cross and the finished work of Calvary and the atonement of Christ, we have been blessed. Sometimes we sit around and just forget all the blessings of God. We have car trouble. It overshadows the delivering hand of God. We have financial trouble. It overshadows the very blessings of God. We have physical ailments, sicknesses, whatnot. It overshadows the very blessings of God. I'm going to tell you something. We do not need to be ignorant of the blessings of God. Matter of fact, it would do us some good, church, that we keep a catalog of the blessings of God in our personal life. Hey, it's good to read back and see what happened to the nation of Israel and see that, hey, that cloud overshadowed them. They went through the Red Sea. The water was swelled up there. Listen, Charlton Heston standing on the other side is Moses. You know, hey, that's good to think about. But, hey, there needs to be some Red Sea events in our life. And it can be. Well, I remember on a Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit of God told me, son, if you don't trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I might not deal with you no more. So a lot of folks thinking that God's grace extends and deals and deals and deals and deals with somebody individually. But I'm telling you what, you're not going to get saved unless the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart and pricking your heart with the Word of God. And it was real that night. And I knew that this old boy, if he didn't trust Christ as his personal Lord and Savior that night, it was possible that that would be the last time that the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I don't know if it would have been, but it was that real in my life. And I came down that altar and I got delivered. I got born again. I got saved. And what a blessed thing to remember. Then I think about all the other times in my life that God has shown His hand strong in my life that I can name, I can look back and I can see in my life the blessed hand of God. Here's a story for you. We were on deputation, getting ready to go to Greece, and we was actually headed back to, we was in El Paso, Texas. We was headed back to Leesville, Louisiana, back to our home church. We was going to be back, been on the road a long time, and we were going to be back at our church's missions conference. We had an old Chevy G20 van, pink and mauve and rose. I mean, it was the ugliest thing ever seen in my life. 35-foot travel trailer hooked to the back of that thing. Brother Scott, we lit out from El Paso, Texas. We was going to make it back over to Leesville for the start of our missions conference. We wasn't 125 miles down the road and we had a flat tire. No problem. Get out. We change the flat tire. Take the back one off the trailer. Fix that. We went another 75 miles. I bought another spare because there wasn't none out there. You ever been out in West Texas? They just ain't nothing. We got 75 miles up the road, bought another one, 50 miles down the road, had a flat on the van. I said, okay, Lord, we're having a little testing here. Had a spare for the van. Took it off, put it on, put that old one back up there, went on about another 50, 60, 70 miles, and there was an exit. Bought a spare because you don't have one, you put it on. We go on another 50, 60, 70 miles, had another flat on the trailer. Put the spare back down, change the tire, go on. Listen, 7 tires we had flats on getting back. Brother Bonnie, every time God let me get to the next exit to buy a spare. You say, you look at that as a blessing? I could have been walking to the next exit. At the time, church, I did not think it was a blessing. I was thinking, Lord, I want out of the school of changing tires. I know how to do it. It wasn't about changing tires. It was about Him meeting me right on time. Having enough in the pocketbook that I could buy another spare. Listen, I'm telling you, you buy spare tires in a little country gas station, you're not getting them at $70 either. No. If it was a $40 tire, they done jacked it up $120 on top of that. They saw a stranger and they took me in. But God blessed. Every flat on that trip back, God got me to a place and delivered me, gave me a spare. There need to be times in our life, church. Don't be ignorant of the blessings of God. Don't be ignorant at all. Listen, verse 2, it furnishes us with a good argument for those who want to talk about baptism, regeneration. You go on and look at it, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and you begin to talk about that and look at it, and you understand that that's not... baptized into with Moses or in Moses. It was unto Moses. It was a separation of unto him. And they went through that Red Sea, the cloud over the top. And they listened. They said, hey, Moses, we're going to go with you. Do you understand that whenever Moses was standing there, it was the sea was red open. They did not have to follow through. You know what they could have did? They could have took their chances with the Egyptian army. They could have said, hey, Moses, hey, they was already murmuring, complaining, were they not? When they got there, Moses, you brought us out here for us to die. Moses said, Lord, I don't know what to do. God said, spread it open, raise it up. And there goes the Red Sea, the cloud still there. They said, hey, what are we going to do? Separated unto Moses. They went on and followed Moses. Got him on down in there. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 3, and did all eat of that same spiritual meat. What spiritual meat? What rained down from heaven? Manna. Hey, what a blessing. But dear friend, we've partaken of something greater than manna. I mean, we have eaten the bread of life. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. What a blessing. Oh, that would have been thrilling to me to see food fall down from heaven. Listen, I wouldn't have to go back to Walmart, wouldn't have to go back to Publix, I wouldn't have to go back to Kroger, Winn-Dixie. I'd just go out there and gather me up some for the day. And listen, if you took too much, it spoiled. Just gather enough up for the day, go on back and eat it, enjoy yourself. Didn't have to wait in line. Didn't have to get your debit card out. Didn't have to, listen, didn't have to go to the bank. Listen, God just, listen, hey, we are partaking greater than manna from heaven. The blessed bread of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Drank to that spiritual drink. That rock, you remember Moses popped that rock. Water sprung out of a rock. Boy, what a blessing that would have been. These are examples. They're written for us. Don't be ignorant of the blessings. Why don't be ignorant of the blessings? Because we're fixing to get down there to where they had consequences from sin. You know, sometimes what gets us off into sin, we forget the blessings. We forget really how good God has been to us. We fear men more than we fear God. I think E.M. Bounds said, a man that's stranger to prayer is a stranger to power. And I'm telling you, sometimes we fear men so much that we turn a blind eye to God and say, God, I see these people. I deal with these people. I live around these people. Oh, I know that you're there somewhere. But you're a God of grace, a God of mercy. You're a God of love. And Lord, these people, they're cruel. There's a consequence. Don't be ignorant of the blessings of God. Don't be ignorant of the blessings of God, because I'm telling you, it gets you on down there to the point that we forget that we have such a greater privilege than the nation of Israel. They rejected Christ, didn't they? Right now, they're a nation that's blinded to spiritual things. Oh, individually, there's some getting saved. Praise God for them. Praise God for that. Listen, they steal God's children. They steal the apple of His eye. But right now, listen, God's calling out among the Gentiles. What a privilege. What a privilege. He's calling out a name among us because the nation of Israel became ignorant. Without knowledge of the blessings of God. Look at America right now, church. We're ignorant of the blessings of God. Ignorant of the blessings of God. Look on verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Church, do you think for a moment if He was not pleased from the nation of with the nation of Israel and their attitude, their actions, and what they did and how they carried on, do you think for a moment that God could be displeased sometimes with us in our life? Oh, church, I know sometimes when He looks down in my life, He's not pleased with it. He's not happy with the route I've chosen, the things I've chosen to do, the events that I've allowed to take place in my life, the things that I've gotten caught up in, and the way my mind and the attitude that I take sometimes. And I can see Him look down and He can say, He's being ignorant of the blessings that I've poured out upon Him. He's not well pleased. He's not well pleased with me. But when I bow a knee and I turn to Him in faith, and I say, Lord God, I'm sorry. I've displeased You. I've chosen a route in my life that has not been good for me, for my wife, for my children, for my church. Lord, I ask You to please forgive me. Listen, He's faithful to do so. But if I go on in my ignorance and I go on in my foolishness and I go on in a route that is contrary to the Scriptures and the Word of God that we have before us, just like the nation of Israel, just like it says there in verse 5, He was not well pleased for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You will reap the consequences of your choices. They're examples. That's what the next verse says. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Why is it in the name of time do we think that 10 times before us people have gotten in trouble, caught up in it, they've paid the consequences? Why do we think we're the exception? I mean, I don't understand. Why is it that when it's our turn to make that choice, say, hey, it'll be all right. Our example. Neither be idolaters, verse 7, verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. We're not special. Brother Lee, I'm not going to stand up there and commit sin and God just overlook it. If He overlooked my sin, He'd have to go back and apologize to people in Scripture that He dealt with sternly. These are our examples. Neither be ye idolaters. I tell you, Romans, we're a nation full of idolaters. We place things before God that don't amount to a hill of beans. I mean, if we stood back a moment and look what we put before God, we'd be embarrassed sometimes. I mean, it's like, what on earth was I thinking? Neither let us commit fornication. We run around in a way that we fornicate, not physically, sometimes that too, but we fornicate spiritually. He said, God, where's the blessings? We're chasing idols. God's a jealous God, church. Then the 9, neither let us tempt Christ. I'll tell you, sometimes we tempt God. And guess what happened, Brother Johnson? When they tempted God, it brought judgment. When they fornicated, it brought judgment. When they went after idolaters, it brought judgment. When they murmured, it brought judgment. This is our example, says verse 6. We can learn from it, or we can ignore it, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to bring judgment. It's going to bring judgment. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 6, they're examples. Verse 11, they're ensamples. That's kind of two words there that we can look at and kind of see what is trying to be said here and what is being relayed to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and maybe this will help, maybe it won't. But when I look at an example, to me that's something that's outward, like we exit the building. When I look at an ensample, it's something that deals inward, like when we enter a building. An example is like a pattern that's been laid out. I want you to make me 50 of these here cakes, these cookies, and I want them to look just like that. That's an example. Well, an end sample is something that's more inward. It's like to work, to show. Am I making any sense at all to anybody? Say amen. Because it was, when I was looking at this week, I was like, Lord, why are we using two different words? Because I'm telling you, dear friend, we can be great on the outside as an example, and the inside, that end sample, just all messed up. We can be right inward and doctrinally sound, but outward, we're just not permeating with the love of God. So God dealt with both of them. These are examples. They fooled around with idolatry and they got judgment. They fooled around with fornication, they got judgment. They fooled around with tempting Christ, it brought judgment. They fooled around with murmuring and it brought judgment. Now these are your examples. Take them and use them and learn from them. Why? Verse 12, wherefore? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, there's a lot of us do that, don't we? Sometimes we just stand up on our own two feet and say, Lord, look at me, I can do it without you. Fall right on our face. You know, the blessed thing is that when we do fall, if we just turn our nose and eyes upward, he'll reach down, dust us off, pick us up, and help us get on down the road. Well, how do we know that? Because verse 13, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. What you're going through right now and how you're being tempted, you're not the first one. You're not the Lone Ranger. Sometimes, Sister David, it seems like that, ain't it? Nobody else going through this, just me by myself. It's not like that. It's not like that. And I'm going to tell you, we have a good God who's very loving and kind and very faithful. That's what it says there. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. God's not going to put and allow a temptation that come through your life that you're not fleshly able to say, hey, I need the Holy Spirit of God and He helps us. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to what? To bear it. What has to happen? I believe personally we're going to have to not be ignorant of His blessings. We're going to have to take the examples that's been given to us that, hey, they didn't get away with it. I'm not getting away with it. Now we throw them out the window. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to bear it. The brunt of it. The pain of it. The heartache of it. But if we'll say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for helping me through this. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for saving my soul. Thank you for the clothes I have. Thank you for the wife I have, the husband I have. Thank you for my children. Thank you for the place of ministry that you're giving me to ministry in, Lord. And I'm not standing up here saying that I don't need you. I need you because I've read the scriptures and there's people that's been greater spiritual giants than I am that have fallen. And Lord, I can't do it. And we turn to Him and He's faithful, dear friend, to make a way of escape. I think too many times we see the way of escape, and because we've been feeding the flesh so much, it closes and blinds our eye to the escape, and the flesh wins. And the flesh wins. We as Christians have been blessed beyond measure. And I'm going to tell you, we as Christians have been greatly warned by God. I mean, this chapter, He warns us and helps us and shows us. That's why He says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. How could Paul say he was speaking to wise men? Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. And he was speaking to Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. If any man lack wisdom. You know, sometimes, church, we're going to have to just tell God that, hey, I'm lacking in this area. He gives us liberally. Sometimes we're not willing to admit that we're lacking of wisdom. That's when we get back up there, back to verse number 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Verse 11 presents us with great examples to follow. And we need to beware that we are not confident in our own stance. Verse 12. Verse 13, God's given us a wonderful promise there that He will help us to escape any temptation that comes our way. What do we got to do? Flee from idolatry. So what does that mean, Pastor? What are we going to do? There's a consequence for sin. We've been blessed beyond measure. We've been warned with great gentleness by God in this passage. So what do I got to do? You got to make a choice. He's got to increase and I've got to decrease. God has to have His rightful place in our life. He deserves it. And He deserves for us to yield ourselves instruments of righteousness and to present ourselves as living sacrifices and say, Lord, here am I. Now, guys, there's a consequence for sin. What you going to do with it?